When it was Passover evening, Jesus came with the 12. As they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "I'm telling you the truth. One of you is going to betray me. One of you that's eating with me." "Do it quickly," Jesus said to him. So when Judas had taken the bread, he went out at once. It was night. I didn't heartily enjoy my time at Mansfield College, but some things were excellent. And in one session, a group of ministers in training, had to tackle Easter services. We were split into four groups. I'm sure you can guess what they were. Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper. Lucky guys, there was a lot of stuff they could do with that. Good Friday, Jesus on the cross, harder to tackle, but again, lots of good scripture to dive into. And Easter Sunday, the resurrection, what a fantastic opportunity. I hope you can count. Which group was I allocated? Any guesses? Easter Saturday, also known as Black Saturday, Easter Eve, the Great Sabbath, or White Saturday. So as we usually did, we started with the Bible to find out what those 11 apostles and sundry other disciples and some women were doing. Now remember, the Sabbath is a day of rest, so nothing should have been happening. But this is according to Matthew's Gospel, when the chief priests and Pharisees went to Pilate and asked for the tomb to be guarded. Obviously, the Romans weren't that fussed about keeping the Jewish Sabbath. But us ministers in training, keep have to say that bit, we chose as a group to focus on the grievers, those who had faithfully followed Jesus and were now completely bewildered. Who was this rabbi they'd given everything up for? They also must have pondered on Judas. Had he really been stealing from the common purse? Wouldn't we have noticed? Yeah, but he wasn't from Galilee, was he? He was from Kerioth, a city in southern Judea. Yeah, but why did Jesus pick him if he knew what he was going to do? I don't know, perhaps Jesus didn't know what Judas was going to do. But Jesus knew everything. But did he know about Judas? Who was Jesus really? Matthew wrote his gospel to convince first century Jews that Jesus really was their long-awaited Messiah. And the gospel author did this by constantly inserting prophecies from the Hebrew scriptures. So we all remember Christmas, when Jesus' birth is foretold in Micah. And then here we are, ready with the Palm Sunday reading from Zechariah. There were lots of others. Matthew also highlights Old Testament prophecies to show that Jesus' betrayal by Judas was part of a divine plan, specifically citing the 30 shekels, because that was the price of a slave. And then the purchase of the potter's field. That's what Matthew said Judas did with his blood money. So we read in Matthew 26:21, as they were eating, Jesus said, "I'm telling you the truth, one of you will betray me." Jesus not only predicts his own death in several places, he also explains that he will be betrayed by one of his closest companions. And I deliberately choose the word companion because it means someone you break bread with. Whatever we choose to believe about when Jesus knew that Jesus would betray, it's a bit weird that Jesus seems perplexed when Judas kissed him in the Garden of Gethsemane to confirm his identity to the soldiers. And we know that after Judas greeted him with a kiss, Jesus said, "My friend, what have you come to do?" They came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Jesus said, "Don't you realize that I could call on my Father and have him send me more than 12 legions of angels just like that? But how then can the scriptures come true where it says that all this must happen? All this has happened so that the writings of the prophets would be fulfilled." That, as I say, is mostly from Matthew. But there's some questions for you to ponder. Both Luke and John mention Satan entering into Judas. Luke mentions that Judas allowed Satan to get a grip on him when he went to meet the chief priests. And John records that Judas gave in to the tempter when Jesus gave him the dipped bread. But was Judas actually squeaky clean right until that point? And if Jesus didn't know when he picked him who the betrayer was going to be, when did Jesus become aware that it would be Judas? Despite what Judas did in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus called him friend. Because Jesus understood that the spiritual battle for Judas's soul had been lost. In that moment of pure betrayal and fearing what came next, Jesus understood this too was to fulfill the prophecies. But what can we learn from these few years in the life of Judas? As we know, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So what are our temptations today, and what are our current evils? Jesus' temptations were to turn stones into bread when he was starving, to jump from a high place so that the angels could race in and save him, and to worship Satan instead of God. Now, looking at those three, I don't know about you, but I am absolutely hopeless at fasting. I don't think I put God to the test very often, but that last one nowadays is so insidious. We are being duped. We may not see where our adulation is diverted from the one true God. We may not notice where our time and attention have drifted. Do we feel that these pressures are harder to resist today compared to back when Jesus walked the earth? Let's face it, back then there were no mammoth advertising campaigns, all the lures of TV, the internet, casinos, foreign holidays, flash cars, need I go on. But the wiles of the evil one were always there and always will be until Jesus returns. But can we call these things, today's things, betrayal, on the same scale as what Jesus committed? Let's face it, all the sins we commit are done by one reason only, because we think we know better than God. And we don't realize that they're just drifting away from God's will. As Nana said from the pulpit last month, Jesus did not abolish the Ten Commandments. We are still bound by them. So how does Judas do from this perspective of those rules? Two of the gospel writers emphasize that Judas allowed Satan into himself. So that's number one, have no other God before me, over and done with. There's no evidence that Judas made a graven image or misused the name of God. And he only broke the Sabbath rule in company with Jesus and the other disciples. We don't know about his relationship with his parents, but the likelihood that if his parents were still alive, they'd be rather alarmed at their son following Jesus. except, of course, Peter, whose mother-in-law got cured by Jesus. So she would have believed. Judas doesn't directly murder Jesus. It's not Judas personally who nails Jesus to the cross. But of course, he gave Jesus' enemies the information that they needed. We've got no idea whether Judas was married, let alone whether he was faithful. But according to John's gospel, Judas was a thief. And he certainly bore false testimony. As Tim Rice so eloquently put it, "I came because I had to. I'm the one who saw. Jesus can't control them like he did before. And furthermore, I know that Jesus thinks so too. Prepare for a big whopper. Jesus wouldn't mind that I was here with you." What did Judas covet? Jesus' power, a better lifestyle, a life not under the Roman jackboot? I've missed one. Just as I missed the 12 disciples, I've missed one of those. But anyway, how did Judas do? Probably just as well as the rest of us, He was human after all. I wrote most of this service on Friday the 13th. And have you ever pondered why Friday the 13th is considered unlucky? There's a combination of superstitions, blending historical, religious, and numerological superstitions. Triskaidekaphobia, that's the fear of the number 13. And how many were there at the Last Supper before Judas left? 13. Do you throw a pinch of salt over your shoulder if you spill some? The Greek philosopher Pythagoras believed salt was representative of justice, so spilling it was a warning of injustice to come. In Jesus' time, Friday the 13th, where did you come from? In Jesus' time, salt was an essential preservative. It wasn't just making things taste nice. It had a real purpose. So spilling salt was an omen of bad luck because it was precious, it was valuable. And it was believed that spilling salt would instigate an attack from evil spirits or even the devil himself. And the only way to relieve that offense was to throw a pinch of the spilled salt over the left shoulder with the right hand. And that blinds the devil before he attacks. Can you see Judas there? Leonardo da Vinci depicted Judas as nudging the salt pot with his arm. Can you see that? An injustice would soon come. In other words, Jesus' death. And it came about because Judas let the devil control his actions. I think that's all I've got to say about Judas, except we must learn from his example and not betray our Lord. Amen.